Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. This is Khadija Seven, your host. I am so super duper excited to be joining everyone as we're going through another wonderful Wednesday. Wednesday is always very important to me. You know, this is a spiritual show hosted by two spiritual organizations, A Wonderful Approach and Mother Eagle Ministries. And we work very diligently working, building, growing, expanding both of these organizations. And this wonderful radio program is the result of that. We're working together trying to create more awareness, create education, set up people to prepare for their healing. And, you know, it has a lot of, it's a source of a lot of joy for me to be able to come with our wonderful host, Mama Khadija, who actually is my mother. But, you know, it takes a lot of joy for me to come and do the program each week, reach out to the special people that help to make the program what it is, you know, the listeners, and we have loyal listeners. And, you know, I just want to thank everyone for taking time out of their Wednesdays to join us. And we have quite a few people that join us live. And then we have a whole other group that joins afterwards, either conferencing schedule or just recapping the show. So I'm always very, very happy to come and to build and to grow with the audience, build and grow with Mama Khadija, expand my own knowledge base. I tell everybody I do the radio programs with pen and paper because each week there's a gem that comes forward that I absolutely adore that I want to share with everyone. So this week, last week, we spoke about spiritual commitment. And Mama Khadija, I'm going to bring Mama Khadija on the line so that she can give us a recap. But, you know, I wanted to share with everyone, if you're interested in checking out any of the past shows, they are listed on A Wonderful Approach Facebook page. And you can go there. We have, you know, people add their comments. And if you see a show that you liked, that you thought had a lot of meaning to it for you, post it on your page and share it. We get quite a few people that go back and check out the show afterwards. So don't hesitate to share and to give us a thumbs up and to let us know what you thought of the show. Like I said, this is very much a family, and we all gather here on Wednesday so that we can share and build with one another. Okay. I want to bring on our lovely co-host, Mama Khadija. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, Seven. Greetings, listening audience. Greetings, family. Everyone got their present this morning. And sometimes when we wake up in the morning, we just don't. Sometimes we just can't pull it together. Hold on, well, just a second.
Okay. So Mama Khadija is going to get herself together for half
now,
a second.
I should have known not to eat peanuts. People that know me know that I absolutely love chewing one peanut at a time on my front teeth. In fact, I have ground down some of my bottom teeth because that's just been a habit of mine. I think it's a nervous habit, but it's kind of hard to do that and talk. So excuse me for the coughing, but I did get my present this morning. We all got our presents. We're all excited about life. We're excited about wrapping up this year and going into a new year. Many of us think that our new year starts, and I do, that our new year starts on our birthday, our Earth Day, and some people do the first of the year. But for me, it's going to be both because my birthday is coming up, and we're coming into a new year. So I'm excited about being here, Seven. I was telling you earlier, I was kind of wound up. I was kind of wound up, and usually an hour or so before the show, I'll take it all the way down and burn my incense and get my water and just try to relax and go with the flow. But I got wound up today. And I just really, excuse me if I'm coming off super duper excited, but I'm excited about so much happening. The shift is here. We're involved in a harvest time. The seeds that we were able to plant this year are beginning to show up and bear fruit. So that's something to be excited about. But just to give a recap on last week, we talked about commitment. Not just spiritual commitment, but just commitment overall, just an overall of commitment. It was an awesome show. We talked about actually what is commitment? What is a commitment? What is commitment? How does it show up in your life? How do you build commitment? You know, and what are you committed to? So I remember one of my favorite calls, Omi Shayon had called in. Excuse me. A sister from Florida. She's one of our loyal listeners.
Yes.
And she said, you know, she asked, okay, is there a difference between commitment and a promise? We talked about that. We talked about the benefits of commitment. And some of those benefits I just want to kind of go over again for those of you who are, like, right on the fence and not really understanding what commitment means and how it's showing up in your life. The benefits are awesome. You know, it gives life meaning. It helps to ground you. If you see someone that's just kind of floating around, going from here to there and all over the place, a lot of times it's because they're not committed to anything. Okay, we also talked about it providing us with direction in our life. It also helps us to establish discipline. So there were so many benefits that we were able to share. But to wrap up that show, I know there were some listeners that said that they didn't quite know, because we get text messages all the time. They don't know exactly where they're committed or what they're committed to in their life. And I wrap the show up this way. Look at who's in your life. Who's in your life? If you're an absentee father, can you say that you're committed to, you know, parenthood? So let's look at who is in your life, number one. Number two, what is in your life? What's going on in your life? That has something to do with what you're committed to. And basically how you spend your time. So if you're spending your time with a lot of foolery and doing things that you did when you were 18 and 19 years old, we need to have a conversation about some life commitments. And these are spiritual commitments, but these are commitments that will help navigate you through this journey that we call life. It was an absolutely awesome show. I come to the shows with paper and pen as well. And that show for me, because commitment has meant so much to me in my life. I don't know whether it was Dr. King that said, if you don't stand for anything, you'll die for nothing or whatever. You know, it's like you have to stand up. You have to be committed to something. Something has to take precedent in your life to give your life meaning. So the commitment show was just really a good time. Seven, did you come away from that show with any new or exciting information?
Yes. I love commitment is very important to me on a personal note. You know, and it reflects in everything that I try to do. I try to make sure that, you know, my commitment is very clear. But the big thing that I got from the show was the why. Why mm-hmm. are you committed to this? And I thought mm-hmm. it was, you know, great when, you know, we have to really understand the why to our commitment. Because there are some reasons we're committed to things that if we really examine the why part, we would clearly understand that this is not really high level. You know, this is not something to commit yourself to. And so, you know, it was really, really, it's always educational for me. But, you know, and sometimes I'm speaking to myself as well as speaking to the audience about the whys, the hows, this, that, and the other. But, you know, when you're thinking about commitment and you're committed to a certain path, it's extremely important for you to know why. Because if you don't have a high-level reason, you know, a divine reason, a justified reason, or a reason that's going to be able to hold you through the duration, then that's going to work for you. So if we're trying to work on our weight and our body and everything like that so we can fit into this summer dress and it's fall, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, is that a good enough reason in the fall to be working, or should we just be working on a healthy lifestyle, okay? Because December, when that diet gets hard and you're thinking about a sundress, that's not going to be enough motivation to hold you through, you know what I'm saying? And so it's real important that the why be clear with us. So it was always, as always, I always get to experience these topics from multiple viewpoints, and that's the thing that I love about the radio program, you know, because our dedicated listeners, which I love and I adore and I appreciate, they're always presenting different ideas to me and different ideas as we're going along. So I'm sitting there like, you know, I hadn't thought about it that way, or, you know, this is a new stance that I can take. So I absolutely, you know, that's one of the reasons why I appreciate the callers so much, sharing their knowledge base. And you know, we don't have to be a guru to have knowledge base to share. You just have to have, you know, walked a half second in front of me. You know, those are the ones that can tell me about which, you know, where the stumbles in this road are. You know, you don't have to be this sage or this guru. You can just be a person with good intentions. And that creates, you know, education for me, and it creates an appreciation, and I get to learn from that. So for me, the big takeaway from last week's show was understanding the why to some of the commitments. And I've done the review. I mean, I don't just listen to the shows now. I fully participate in them, meaning that I go and apply this. You know, so there are a couple of goals and ideas I have to go back and look at and say, Well, why am I doing this? You know what I'm saying? What's the undercurrent to the goal? You know, we have the big goal, but what's the undercurrent to that? So, you know, even in this week, I have spent time, you know, just reviewing for myself, you know, are these whys good whys as to what we're doing and what we're trying to accomplish? So, you know, I strongly encourage everyone, you know, not just to listen to the show, but actually apply some of the things that said, that shared, so that we can build and grow. So this week is a different kind of show. You know, I this show came from my heart, and this show is about the elders. The elders are traditionally individuals that are, I would say, the most experienced of an organization or a group, society. And this experience is coming from age, you know, traditionally. But, you know, to me, this role of elder is an elevated position, because in order to be an elder, you have had to have lived through some things, you know. I've heard the saying, you know, there's no such thing as an old fool, you know what I'm saying? Because usually by the time you get to be old, you know enough how to not be foolish, you know what I'm saying? And so there is a lot of wisdom that is sitting in our elders. And every time I've had the privilege of being exposed to a number of elders, you know, and we all are. Now, whether you consider it a privilege or not, that's your choice. Whether you can see the wisdom of them, that's still your choice as well. But I know for a fact that our elders are sitting with libraries of information, and we have to be able to see the information, apply the information, you know. And when I think about lessons of our elders, you know, myself, I will be 47 this year. And, of course, 47 is not an elder. But I am actively thinking about what kind of elder I want to be. You know what I'm saying? What lessons do I want to have to pass on? What relationship do I want to have with the community? Because that doesn't happen the second that you hit 55. You know what I'm saying? The relationship that you have with your community, that's a relationship that's been fostered over time, over experiences. The wisdom that you have to pass on to people is not a booklet that you get, you know, when you get your AARP card or whatever. It's not something that's an automatic given. This is something that is created, it's collected, it's applied, and, you know, it's nurtured, it's sought after. You know, all of these things coming together create the body of knowledge that our elders actively have right now. And so as, you know, I might be a pre-elder, you know, and so there are lessons that our elders have that we need. And I'm really interested in having this conversation. Mama Khadijah and I have had a different type of conversation last week. And I fight about elders all the time. As much as I love them, I fight with them as well, because I'm like, hey, give up that knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Give me this wisdom. Do this and do this. And the elders are like, hey, show me some character. Show me something that is going to make me say that you can handle this knowledge, that you'll be responsible with this knowledge, that you're going to build on this body of knowledge, not just get it and sit back and be like, oh, I got what I need. I don't need to do anything else. You know, so I really want to be able to kind of go back and forth and find out, you know, from my elder and from other elders that are on the line, what they would like us to know as we're going into our eldership. And then also, if there's something that an elder has taught you, you know, share. This is a great place to share. I'm hoping to get a couple of quotes. I'm hoping to get some nuggets of wisdom that they gave to you on your way. But, you know, I really want to start getting this information ready so that we, as pre-elders, are going to be ready for this grand responsibility. You're not grand, grandmother, grandfather, grand in, you know, fabulousness, you know. But as we get preparing for our grand, you know, we really need to start building on what it takes to be an elder, defining what eldership is, and then, you know, share some of that knowledge with us. So I'm really looking forward to this evening. I'm looking forward to having some of this conversations with, because, I mean, I can see the phone lines. We got elders and pre-elders, you know, those that are in that range to where in the next 10 years, you know, we will be the elders. You know, what are we going to be ready for that? Are we ready to hold some of these traditions? And, you know, what are you elders doing that you're going to be passing down to us that we might need to know? And share those knowledge. Share some of that knowledge with us. We're ready. We're, you know, the people that are on this call, the people that are going to listen to this show, have shown that, you know, if this is more than just a passing fad or a phase, you know, we're really wanting to share knowledge, and we're really wanting to better ourselves and everything else like that. So, you know, I'm really, really looking forward to the continuation of this conversation. So, Mama Khadijah, how are you feeling with your lessons from our elders?
Well, I just wanted to start off by saying that being an elder is not age-based. It really doesn't have – a lot of people attach an elder, meaning an older person. In my mind and in my community, it takes a little bit more than living 60 or 65 years to become an elder. You know, elders have a legacy of insight and wisdom. And I think those two things, along with some other things, would make them that elder. You know, they have a wealth of experience because they have lived longer than 40 or 50 years. So we're looking at, you know, 60, 65, 70 years plus of life experience. And also, elders, I think, have to display patience, discipline, understanding, and most importantly, I think, discernment. And I think that's where a lot of younger people have issue with some of the elders in our communities, because many young people have a different way of learning. Now, you know, we're in the information age, and a lot of young people think that they can, you know, go to the computer, they can go to books and get whatever knowledge that they need. But there are schools of and ELAs and different places where there is supposed to be a vast amount of wisdom and insight and discernment where they won't even let you come in with a pencil and a piece of paper. They're like, get this, get it. No, you can't write this. You know, I have a friend in Miami who's a priest of Shango. And he talked about learning all of the Odus and learning a lot about his tradition and not even being able to write anything down. He was told that he had to keep this in his head. He had to memorize this. He had to remember everything. So with this different way of learning, I think real comfortable with it. A lot of the elders today believe that you basically sit still and sit quietly and watch and learn. And, you know, that is not the way that young people are learning, most young people are learning today. So I think that will account for some of the conflict, Seven. You talked about some of the conflict and some of the elders don't want to give it up because they want you to show them that you're worthy of this knowledge, you know. They had to go through, and I've mentioned this before on past shows, you know, I had to really go through a lot to get the little that I do have because I had to adhere to my teacher's whim, you know. I had to do what they wanted me to do, and I had absolutely very little say about how anything. So we're looking at different learning styles and teaching styles now. But please don't allow that to stop you from getting those nuggets. Suck it up. Listen. If you have to get quiet when it's time to ask questions, you ask your questions. But it's worth it because the elders are right up there next to the ancestors. They're not going to be here much longer. So we have to take advantage of, in a very positive way, I'm saying take advantage of whatever it is that they feel comfortable passing down to us. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't do our independent study. We should. But there's a time and a place for everything. When you go to the elders, don't go to them with your laptop and with your notebooks and pencils. Just sit still and listen, take it all in. I think that's the best advice that I can give about having access to their legacy, that legacy of experience and discernment and understanding and getting all that they have to give, you know, to leave behind for us. So, and it's not always easy. It's not always easy. I've had several godparents that have been master teachers. I've had some mentors that have been master teachers. And
it just hasn't been easy for me. So I just want to pass that along to a lot of the younger people on the call tonight. Don't become discouraged if it's not easy. If your mentor, if the elder has little quirks about them or whatever, just sit tight, sit still, listen, and suck it all in. Take it all in because it's valuable.
Uh-huh. I'm doing this show. I'm using my mute button this particular show because this show is a sensitive topic for me. And I'm sitting here talking, and everyone that's listened to at least one or two shows knows that sometimes Mama Khadija and I can have differences of opinions, and this is definitely one where I think we both agree with each other and we both disagree with each other. You know, it's like we completely see what the other person's talking about at all times, but we also know that there's a difference, you know. There's and a lot of this difference comes from, of course, difference in generations. You know what I'm saying? Things change. And as things change, people do expect everything to change. Really, they do. They have drive-through churches now. And, of course, our ancestors would have never thought about, you know, doing such a thing. We have you know, churches where you come in what you feel comfortable in. Some of them, you know, allow like jeans and a shirt or whatever. And one thing I remember about going to church as a young person, the few times that I went, you know, especially with my grandmother, it was a very dressy occasion. You know, that was when we wore our tights and our shiny shoes. And I remember seeing the ladies with the gloves, and it was always a really big deal. And now it's not so much, you know. And so, you know, everything, many things have changed about the way people practice their spirituality, about the way people want to practice their spirituality. And because of that, a lot of the delivery methods have changed, including just basic learning lessons. A lot of that has changed. And so in that change, some things have updated and some things haven't, and some of the things that haven't is our elders. One thing that you said, Mama Khadija, that I wanted to just touch on is you had said that, you know, you've had several godparents, and I would like to just take a moment to express why several godparents.
Well, my first godmother was a part of the Shango Baptist out of Trinidad, who became a priestess of Obatala. She has since passed away, bless her soul. And then I have an Egungun godparent who initiated me into that Egungun society. I also have several elders that I consult where ritual is concerned, different aspects of spirituality. I call them my mentors. And so I have the two godparents in two different systems and several mentors that give me guidance, you know, that show me different things and teach me different things. But I am definitely the student and they are the teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I wanted you kind of to explain that is because I wanted to express to people there are different kinds of teachers for you. You know, and elders are a plethora of information, knowledge, wisdom, applied wisdom, and there are many different, you know, you don't have to just go to one person to get information. You can, you know, it can really be a community thing. And also sometimes with godparents or with teachers and stuff, sometimes teachers already teach you a particular thing. Like your kindergarten teacher was for kindergarten. And once you graduated from kindergarten, it was time for you to move on to the next level, first grade. And then Once you got finished with elementary school, you moved to a whole other school of thought, which is middle school. And there you have four or five different teachers at once. And so, you know, our teachers, our elders, whoever's doing your input, that can change. It can change because you've outgrown them. It can change because you have gotten what you needed to get, whether you've outgrown them or not. You know, sometimes there comes a point where you've gotten what you needed, you know. And then once your school of thought changes, once it's time for you to acquire different understandings, you know, that may be another change that you and this particular teacher are not going to be together for. And those types of things are okay. It's very important that we don't get, I don't want to say stuck, but that we don't get committed to one type of lesson that we're gaining, okay? And then also when it comes to lessons from our elders, don't expect the lessons to all be what you want them to be on, okay? Because, like, I have two sons, one's still home, and he was learning how to cook eggs. And I'm like, okay, that's wonderful. He was so happy. He cooked the eggs. He ate them. I was like, okay, now you got to learn the other part of that lesson. And he's like, what's that? How to clean up. Oh. And so, you know, he hadn't even considered that as part of the lesson on how to cook eggs, but it 100% is part of the lesson. And someone else may not have taught him that the cleaning up is part of cooking the eggs, but the lesson that I have for him, it is connected. You know, we can't have one without the other. So, you know, that's just an example of the type of lessons that our elders have for us. And, you know, where we are, we don't fully see the lesson. We have to, you know, understand that the lesson may have two parts or three parts or four parts. And you have to have patience with the process, you know. And I think that's one thing that I would like to say to both the elder and non-elders out there and the pre-elders out there. Please, you have to have patience with the process, okay? Just we, the pre-elders and the pre-pre-elders, you know, we need the lesson, you know. But just as badly as we need the lesson, we need our elders to understand that they need to give the lesson, you know. And so there has to be, or I don't want to say there has to be, it would be helpful if there was an idea of mutual understanding that a person would benefit from this knowledge. So not only is it my responsibility to try to make sure they are of good character to get the knowledge, as an elder, you may have to do some quote-unquote remedial work with this student to help get them ready for the knowledge. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes that patience in that I see kind of goes missing, Mama Khadijah, you know, where I don't see sometimes the elder's commitment to be the teacher or to share as much as I see their commitment to, you know, you're going to get it the way I got it to give, you know. Like, I know I have two very different children, and I knew that I could not mother my second child the way I mothered my first child because they're different. They have different needs, different wants, different. And so, you know, sometimes I don't see the elders, you know, being as open-minded with the lesson as they could, rather than being more stuck on tradition. And I say all these words extremely respectfully, but, you know, being kind of more stuck and rigid in the tradition rather than being having the desire to share the knowledge more than it is to keep the tradition.
And I hear every word that you said, and I can say that I agree with that. But we all know that 60, 65, 70, 75-year-old people are not going to change. Hello. They're just not going to do that. So sometimes someone may be an elder that has all of those characteristics that I mentioned as good character, patient, you know, discerns the whole nine yards. But if they have a teaching style that is not compatible with your learning style, then you just may have to go to another route. You may have to seek out another teacher, seek out another mentor. Because by the time an elder has become 65, 70, 75 years old, I would not bank on them changing. I would not bank on them changing. So when that happens, then what I would suggest is that that you just move on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, the Most High, the Creator, has not given one person everything.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, if you search hard enough, if you pray hard enough, if you use those laws of attraction in a very serious way and ask for a teacher to come that will be able to afford you X, Y, and Z, there's more than one person in even in our small universe, meaning within our community and whatnot, that has that same information. So if your learning style is very different to the point where you're not comfortable with how this elder is going to teach and mentor you, then I would just suggest that you not hold your breath for that person to make any changes, that you move on and find someone and someplace where you fit in. That's what I would suggest.
Mm-hmm.
And this show is going to be unique because you'll get to hear Mama Khadija and I agreeing and disagreeing with each other the whole time. I agree with you, Mama Khadija. I agree that once you have done your work and that you should be able to say, hey, I know this information. I have taught this for 10 years. Don't come in here trying to recreate the wheel. And you don't even know what the wheel is, okay? So sit down, be quiet, and get what you need to get. I get it. See, as a pre-elder, I'm sitting on both sides of this coin. You know what I'm saying? Because there are some lessons where I'm like, honey, you can't tell me nothing about this, okay? You don't. It's obvious you don't know enough. I'm listening to you with my ears, and I can tell you're not. You don't know what you're doing. Sit down and let somebody teach you. And they're like, oh, I'm so offended. And then it's a whole nother hoopla, okay? So I understand both sides of this. But this where, you know, this is where I really see where this is really a combination of the last couple of shows that we've had. Because we've spoken about commitment, okay? And when we spoke about commitment last week, we spoke about being committed and knowing the reason why. So if you're working with someone and you know that this is the lesson that you're trying to get from them, commit to a time. Don't commit to when you think the lesson's over, okay? Because my oldest son, after his first driving lesson, he was like, oh, I got this. I can reach the pedals. I can steer the wheel. I got it. And I'm like, boy, there's so much more to driving than that. You know, so as a student, you have to acknowledge that there are some things that you don't know and that it would be to your benefit to learn the lesson completely. Don't stop midstream. And I think that's part of a flaw of sometimes my generation and even younger than that, where the second things get uncomfortable, the second that the teacher says, okay, we got a test coming up, that we're like, oh, snap, a test. Oh, I'm not doing it. But the test is part of the lesson. You know, you have to do it. Or when a teacher says, oh, I got some homework for you, and I'm holding you accountable for the homework. You know, they're like, oh, I didn't want homework. No, I don't want to do this. So, you know, when it comes to the commitment, You know, that commitment has to be in place so we can get the lessons, you know. And I think, you know, unfortunately, YouTube and the books and videos and all this other stuff will have people thinking that they're self-made, you know, spiritualists that know everything or priests that haven't gone through the process. You know, we have too many quick answers that people don't take the time to really understand that you have to learn from someone who has successfully passed the test, you know. And so being committed to the entire lesson, to me, is something that my generation could benefit from, you know, and sticking with it. Don't be afraid. Stick with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, not only being committed to the lesson, but, excuse me, Seven, but being committed to the process,
mm-hmm.
which I think is even greater than the lesson. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
it's down the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you mentioned
mm-hmm.
earlier that, you know, sometimes you have a mentor, you have an elder, you have a teacher that has a gold nugget for you, maybe one or maybe two, and then you may have someone else that has something else that you need. So it is okay to have more than one teacher because
yes.
everyone is not going to be able to teach you everything.
Yes.
Mm. I got a lesson I learned from an elder. And, of course, before I say this lesson, I want to remind everyone, it's an interactive show. Press 1, that lets me know that you'd like to speak. And we do have some callers, and so we're going to get to this phone line in just a second. But one lesson that I learned from an elder, and I want everybody to take a minute to write this down, okay? Just picture this with me, okay? I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this teacher of mine, right? And this teacher has gold nuggets, big ones, and I got a big bag. And I'm like, put it in there, okay? And this teacher hands me a silver coin, all right? I didn't want the silver coin, okay? I came for the gold nugget, all right? This teacher knew that I needed the silver coin. I didn't know because I don't know the lesson. I don't know the lesson. But I'm looking all shiny and pretty at this gold nugget, and she slides me a silver coin. And at first I was like, not really what I was looking for. Okay. And so I this was a great lesson for me because it helped me to really begin to understand you may go with a lesson in mind about what you want and what you think that this teacher, oracle, medium, priestess, whatever, whoever she is, whoever he is, you may have in your mind what you think that they need to be giving you, but if they are truly in tune with the divine, they're going to give you what God has for you to have. Not what you're thinking with your head. Your head's not, you know, you have to understand your head doesn't know the lesson. So you don't really know when it begins. You don't really know when it ends. You're just there to be taught and to gather what your teacher has to give to you, okay? So in those situations where you came thinking you were getting one of those pretty shiny gold nuggets that you can see that this teacher has, and they give you the silver coin, take it, smile, be appreciative, and put it in your pocket. You don't know when that's going to come back up. You're not going to know when you're going to need that silver coin as opposed to a gold nugget, you know. So, you know, I have written 3 books, another one coming out the first of the year. And I always have to thank my teachers that taught me a little bit and my teachers that taught me a lot. Now, to my teachers that taught me a lot, I'm like, whoo, a lot of thanks. I appreciate it. But for those teachers that taught me little things, I'm still appreciative because they didn't have to do that. So, you know, I always want to remind people, you know, just, you know, it may not be the nugget that you're looking at, that you're thinking that you want or that you qualify for, or that, you know, you've done enough dues. I've paid my dues enough. You know, I should be eligible for that gold nugget that you're sitting there, you know, just sitting there collecting dust. When you get the silver coin, because you're going to have a teacher that does that, no matter who you are, no matter how hard you study, understand that that is a different kind of lesson. And obviously, the fact that you weren't thinking about it means you're not prepared for what that lesson has to teach, but it still is going to teach you something. So, you know, I just wanted to share all the lessons don't come exactly as we thought they were, but they still can be very educational, very impactful. So I want to go to the phone lines. I'm going to open up caller's line. Let me see here. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. How are you all doing today?
Greetings.
We are well.
Yes.
Good, good. I just wanted
all right.
to share with you a few things that I've learned in my journeys and in my travels, in my independent studies of the original spiritual modalities of the Black woman. And I want to say this. I really should have just continued to listen, because I want to say to the sister who just got through speaking, you covered everything that I had been thinking and that I was going to share, actually, just everything. But if I can, or if you will, I want to share with your listeners that the thing that I struggled with in the beginning, coming into the knowledge of myself as a Black woman and the universal understanding of the Black woman, there were many mothers who taught me many different things. And what I had to learn was to understand that there is a difference in between personality. There's a difference in between information, knowledge, and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only until I understood the scopes of those four different things that I was able to soak in the lessons that were meant for me. Part of my journey was to understand how to navigate personalities. And there are going to be teachers that you're going to encounter who will be waxed wise. And they will have personalities that you may feel are not congruent with your personality.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of your test. You see what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
a wise woman does not or is not required to teach you anything necessarily when we think about it. That is a gift, okay? And part of your, part of your penance or your service is to understand how to navigate personalities, because when you get that down, you can begin to soak in lessons untold. And so I had to understand that information is simply data. Okay? That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But knowledge is when you retain data. Okay? You retain it through experience, through learning, or what have you. It's data that you have selected to retain and to know. And then comes wisdom, and wisdom is the correct application of information and knowledge. And this is what the elders have. They have wisdom, the correct application. See, I can know all that I want about the Black woman, but if I don't know how to apply this knowledge and this information, then what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. And so I want to also quickly say that I had to struggle and understand the stages of learning. There are four stages or paradigms, if you will, to learning. And the first stage is ignorance. That's the stage where you may come into you come into the presence of a teacher, and you may think you know some things, and as they are teaching, in your mind's eye, you're saying, well, that doesn't make any sense, or, I've already studied this, and that's not what it is. Well, that's ignorance. That's the first stage of learning. The second stage is the conscious ignorance, meaning you understand now that you're ignorant. You don't know what you thought you knew. And this is the true epitome of learning when you understand that you are ignorant of things. Only then can you open your mind up to learn. And then comes the third stage, which is a knowing. But it's an insecure knowing because you're not sure that you really got it down. And then comes the fourth stage, which is a secure knowing. Okay? And so after you come through these stages, then you will come, as you age, you will come into wisdom because you begin to have the experiences of applying the knowledge and the information that you have gained over a period of time. I hope I'm making sense to you.
Yes. You are, as I'm taking my notes. Thank you very much.
Okay. And you all ask in the invite that we share something that elders who are close to us or who have taken us through these journeys, nuggets that we can hold on to. And I want to firstly let you know my mother's mother was a medicine woman, and my father's mother was a root woman. And I know people will say, well, those are basically the same things, but I'm not going to go into that right now. But my mother's mother told me this. She told me this. She said, when you find a fool, leave them a fool. For years, I struggled with that. I said, well, what if my friends are foolish or about something? I've got to help them. Or, you know, what if this is somebody that I like or somebody that I'm helping? And here's the thing. My experience taught me that medicine woman was correct. You understand what I'm saying? Because here's what she didn't tell me. She left me to learn this. When you try and help fools, what you do is you get yourself entangled in foolishness. I'm not saying don't like the person, put them down, or you know, not give them $100 when you can. I'm not saying that. I'm saying she was trying to teach me, do not get yourself involved in the thick of things with foolish people. And she didn't tell me all of that. She says, all she said was, when you find a fool, leave them a fool. In other words, don't go trying to explain everything, where they're wrong and all of this kind of stuff, because you will get emotionally involved in that foolishness.
And I were just talking about that just the other day in doing these spiritual consultations and how people will attempt to try to pull you into things that aren't even spiritual, really base-level stuff. You know, so that what your grandmother shared is definitely something that we talk about on a regular, Seven and I. You know, when you find a fool, lead them a fool. That is like a real gold nugget. Thank you for that.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
Is this Lakia?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Sapphire?
Pardon?
Sapphire.
Sapphire.
Are you a new listener, Sapphire?
I am.
Oh, wonderful. Welcome, and thank you so much for sharing.
Okay. I wrote down my stages of learning.
My notes.
You really, really hit something. The first stage is ignorance. You don't know. You don't even know. That you don't know.
You know. There you go.
That is, and sometimes it takes sitting in that teacher spot for a second to really understand how unruly the class is. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to be like, wait a minute, y'all aren't listening. You're not paying attention. You know, sometimes you really have to step. So until you get the opportunity to kind of help someone else, you don't really know how challenging it can be. And so, thank you for your contribution. That has been a real wonderful help, Ms. Sapphire.
You're very welcome.
So we are here every Wednesday.
Oh, okay. I will continue to tune in. And before
wonderful.
I let you go, I just want to reiterate that part about ignorance. And then being consciously ignorant, I realized that being consciously ignorant, when I was able to submit my spiritual understanding to the fact that I didn't know, only then was I open to learn. Because
mm-hmm.
I was, do you understand
wow.
what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
there's a spiritual aspect to learning, and because we have been groomed in a culture that is so, how do I say this? What is the word I'm looking for? That is so redundant. That's the word I want to use, redundant. And they feel like if I tell you enough times, you'll get it down. But the spiritual aspect to learning is first preparing yourself or your vessel
okay.
to receive the message. And when you say,
right.
when you receive it in yourself, I don't know, then guess what? Your mind
yes.
opens to the possibilities and to the willingness to understand that which you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I just, that was my experience. And that's what was
thank
keeping
you.
Me from grasping.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all. You guys carry
thank
on.
You,
I'm going to continue to listen.
Wonderful. Thank you. You know, when we were talking at the beginning of the show, I was, you know, we were talking about how the elders are kind of waiting to see something in us. They're, you know, they're like, show me some character. Show me some knowledge. Show what they're looking for almost is that conscious ignorance. It's kind of waiting for you to understand that you don't know. You know what I'm saying? And it's because I remember my oldest boy, I try to tell him that elemental T is not a letter, that those are individual letters, and he would not grasp it. And because he just knew that elemental T was a letter. And after arguing with him, I mean really arguing with him for like a day, I let it go. I said, you'll get it eventually. I'm not your kindergarten teacher, so I'm going to let that be. Because I could see he wasn't ready to learn. You know, this is what us pre-elders and pre-elders have to work on, is we have to get to the point where we are really ready to absorb the lesson. And sometimes being ready to absorb means emptying out what you thought you knew, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it coming
mm-hmm.
into an awareness of when you are ready to learn, you have to really, that piece of paper is supposed to be blank. And then you can fill it up with as many notes as you make from your teacher, you know, but come at least blank, you know. And these teachers know that you're not retarded. You had to have some knowledge before you got here, you know. So when you get to the fifth grade, they're not expecting you to come with a notebook full of fifth grade work. They know you got fourth grade work. You don't have to tell them or show them that, but just be open enough to receive the fifth grade work, you know. So wonderful expressions of willingness and readiness to learn, and wonderful acknowledgement from the elders of when and the type of things they're looking for in students, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
The phone lines are full. Mom, please, if you don't mind, I'd like to grab another caller.
Please do.
Okay. 3969, welcome to the show.
Greetings.
Greetings.
How are you?
I am wonderful. This is Tawana.
Good, good.
Greetings.
Ah, yes. The little mama, okay? tell us about the lessons from our elders. How about that?
Oh, the lessons. I can honestly say there will always be a lesson, don't matter how heinous you may think the situation is. I believe that the elder that you get is tailored to what you need, regardless of what you're going through. How hard it is depending on what you gave to the universe, law of attraction, and it's there to
okay.
teach you a lesson. And the sister Sapphire that was on the line, oh, she said everything
mm-hmm.
I wanted to say. So
mm-hmm.
thank you, sis. But to piggyback
mm-hmm.
on that, I remember one of the first things my first elder taught me, and it was the Bushido Code.
Mm-hmm.
Strength, bravery, courage, honor, respect. The biggest one of the Bushido Code was fiat piety. Love and respect for your ancestors and your elders. If you have that, then being in service will come so much easier. Don't matter what you're going through, if you understand that you're in service, because you have to be, you have to serve people to understand where the elders are at and how they obtain what they had. They had to be in service. No elder got to where they got to or got their titles by not putting the work. And as young people, we sometimes forget the work that the elders have to put in. We get caught up in the human side of them. And we forget that they're human. We tend to go to them looking for power, like they're supposed to give us something. And we have to remember that they are just the facilitators. Just like we were on that journey, they were on that journey. That's why they're elders. They had to earn that spot. So, and understanding that they're just facilitators, it should come humility. But, you know, we don't get that until we live a little. And by living and experiencing, just like they did, then we begin to understand. And just like Seven says, she's on that pre-elder. She's understanding now, because a lot of the things that we did not understand in the beginning, going through what we call rough elders, it was truly tailored for our needs and our benefit for right now, currently, presently on this phone.
I
needed
those
things to do the work that we're about to come upon, because now I'm understanding the magnitude of the work that elders have to do, and the fact that they're leaving at an alarming rate. We're losing our elders.
Yes, we are.
And when we lose them, who are we going to get this knowledge from?
Yes, we are.
And it's scary.
Yes, we are.
Because now I have the understanding. So now when I go out in my community, you know, I don't care, black, white, race, they're elder, and I know that one day I'm going to be in those shoes. So I am mindful. And see, this is where application comes in. You have to apply now what you learn. Because, you know, we get this stuff in our youth and we let it sit. And then we get backed into a corner and then it's like, aha, now I get it. Now I have to apply it. So I want to thank Sapphire for sharing. She did a phenomenal job. This is a phenomenal show, and I thank you ladies for having me.
Thank you so much for calling, for sharing.
And even for sharing those tears, I appreciate it. Because I know firsthand what you have endured in working with elders. And I know it's not easy. But
and I have no hate in my heart for any of them.
I know it's not easy.
I'm so
grateful. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And those people that keep those grateful hearts ready, they tend to have the blessings flow in a lot easier. I'm just making an observation. I'm a watcher, okay? I watch everything. I record everything. And those that can be graceful with those lessons and can be peaceful in the midst of their lessons tend to be the ones that have the blessing behind the lesson. So, you know, again, don't hesitate to learn a hard lesson, okay? Because the blessings behind the hard lessons are always there, always there. So thank you so much for calling in. One thing that Omi wants to call you Omi, but whatever. So one thing that the sister mentioned, though, is that understand where our elders came from, to me, helps me to remember the sacrifices that they've made and it helps me to keep things in perspective, me personally. You know, there was not an internet where you just hit Google, what is, you know, we didn't, there was not that, you know. There wasn't teachers in many different systems. You know, there was a time where it was only salt and pepper. That's what you had. You know what I'm saying? Now our spice racks are just as full. We can add a little of this, a chop of that, and whole food, and I'm going to mince my garlic. No, I'm going to get dried garlic. I mean, we have a full plethora of spices and stuff, but there was a time where there was only salt and pepper. You know, there was a time where your options of spirituality were extremely limited, and the people that you had to pull from were even more limited. And so our elders literally had to fight and scrape for the ability to say, you know, I want to understand metaphysics, you know what I'm saying, or I want to understand something other than the traditional Christian, and then come maybe 65 Islamic understanding. But before that, I mean, there was a time where those were your only choices. And so we live in an age now where people that are really bold, they make up their own choice. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you talk about respect for people, understand some of the things that they've had to go through, and that helps you to kind of put that in perspective. You know what I'm saying?
Only what they had to go through to learn their lessons as young people, but there were so many different sacrifices that were made on so many different levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember as a young person, a young, very young woman, 18 years old, dressing Islamically, meaning that everything was covered but my face, hands, and feet. Now, that was a sacrifice back in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't see women that were covering their hair and coming out in purdah. That was a major sacrifice. I was isolated,
mm-hmm.
kept from jobs, promotions, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go back and look at not only what I've learned and what I'm able to pass on to other young people, you know, you have to take into account what these elders sacrificed. When I think about
mm-hmm.
the people in the African village today, back in 1970, they left New York City, left city life, left their jobs, and came down to establish the Yoruba tradition in the South. Didn't have, you know, hot water, running water, you name it. A lot of the amenities
mm-hmm.
that at that time we took for granted, did not wear Western clothes and were, you know, isolated from, you know, various communities. I mean, I think about those kind of sacrifices. What
mm-hmm.
did the elders give up to become who they are?
Exactly.
Not
exactly.
just what they have to give me, but I'm ever so careful and conscious of what they gave up 50 years ago
mm-hmm.
to wrap their hair.
Mm-hmm. And what was the
not
environment?
Not to go to church.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
What, see, going into Islamic garb, that's one thing. But that meant you had to give up your Christian family. And some people, when I say give it up, I mean, like, don't
mm-hmm.
talk to me like you don't exist no more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not like don't
mm-hmm.
come on Sunday, like don't come ever, you know. And
mm-hmm.
so there's a lot that people were giving up. And I wanted you to say the name of the village. The village is the Oyatunji Village in South Carolina. If you ever
mm-hmm.
wanted to do some research on really people that were pioneering their understanding of spirituality and the sacrifices that were made. But don't forget the climate that they were doing this under. Okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, there came a time where, and I tell people, when it came after 9/11, I was like, Mama Khadija, are you still going to walk around in this Islamic headgear? You know, are you still going to openly identify yourself in a way that could cause you harm? that could cause you additional discrimination, additional challenges, because this sign or signal or statement can come with some real serious ramifications. And her mm-hmm. answer was, Mom Khadija.
Oh, definitely. I wasn't going to change.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to change.
But that was part of the sacrifice. And that's
and
part,
a part
of
the commitment.
Absolutely.
Part of the commitment.
Part of the lesson. You know,
part of
that
the
lesson comes with, you know, I've had my scarf tugged at a couple of times when I was wearing it in high school and in college. And I was a flag across campus. People could see me walking from yards and yards out because they'd see the little scarf flapping in the wind. And so, you know, it was definitely a sign and a symbol and a signal. And it was very, it was one of those things, you know, that I was learning constant lessons from. So as you're going through the understanding of what it takes to get some of these lessons, understand that some of what you're learning might be uncomfortable. Understand that some of what you have to gather, in order for the lesson to be complete, you may be put in an uncomfortable situation or you may have to go through a test in this lesson. That's why you have to be committed to the entire lesson, not just the fun part. Not just you have to be committed to the entire lesson in order to really get it. Because if not, then you cut yourself short from the possibility of gathering information.
Which takes us right back. It takes us right back, and I'm going to say this, and then we can get to the phone lines. It takes us right back to the why. It takes us
absolutely.
Right back to the why.
Absolutely. You must have a very clear why.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't tell me your why in two sentences, in 2 minutes, you don't have a good why, okay? Now, if you need 30 minutes to explain to how when you were a kid and then this happened and that happened, da, 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 then you don't really have a clear why, okay? Two sentences, 2 minutes, why are you doing this? And if you don't have it that clear, then you don't have a why. And you really need to know the why. When the reason why, when I'm telling her that she could be resembling a group of people that right now America may not be friends with, why are you committing? Why are you still wrapping your hair? Why are you still going to commit to that? You know, the answer, I remember the answer very clearly, and it was very brief. I wrap my hair because of my commitment to God. So that hadn't expired. That commitment hadn't expired, you know. And I think every 2 or 3 years I ask, are you still going to continue to wrap your hair? And every 2 or 3 years she gives me the same answer. But that's because the why is clear. The why is absolutely clear. So I got time for another caller. I wanted to grab another one. I believe this is my sister, Omisha Yoon. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Hey, family. How y'all
Greetings,
doing?
Greetings, Omisha Yoon.
Hey, Mama Khadija. Hey, Sister Seven.
How you doing?
Oh, wow. Okay. Mind blown again.
Yay.
Sister Sapphire and Sister Tawana, bless y'all both. Your message was
Amen.
Powerful and to the point, as well as you and Mother Khadija 7. I was talking to Mother Khadija earlier, a priestess that we know, and we talked about Ogun Medi. Her favorite mm-hmm. saying was, what was the lesson?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So whatever circumstances or whatever happened, she always say, what is the lesson? Half the time,
mm-hmm.
I told her I didn't know. It was the truth. But, you know, once you think about it and and see what happened, you know, like Aunt Khadija said, it, you know, take a while, you realize what the lesson was.
Mm-hmm.
as far I have mentors, I have a spiritual godmother, and all of them have taught me different lessons, as well as my elders or my mother have taught me different lessons that I tried to, that I did. I didn't try. I passed it down. Now, whether or not they apply it is a different story. Mm-hmm. But what I felt was necessary in life to maintain yourself, to maintain your family, to keep yourself respectful is what I passed down. Like with my oldest son, we do a lot of talking now. And the things that I've taught him and the things that he does for himself is almost like there was a period of time where he was out in the world. I mean, young people, he's a bouncer for clubs in Orlando, and he was telling me about how things were there. So I'm glad he's out of that and is in the church and doing very well for himself and his family. So the teachings, you have to pass down. You have to learn them yourself, apply them, show that you're doing, you want them to do as you do and not as you say. I think I got that backwards, but
no,
you want,
right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
You want them to grow in the world as well as spiritually and in the world. You want them to apply and get the knowledge, like Sister Sapphire said. You don't want them to be ignorant, because the world
mm-hmm.
would definitely tear you apart if you don't have good knowledge and how to apply it. It's one thing, to, like she said, to have knowledge, but it's another thing to apply it the right way.
Right.
So I just
mm-hmm.
want to just pass that on. I appreciate every week that I come on and learn something new, because my life wasn't exactly brought up in the church or with a lot of spiritual background until I got older. And so learning now, it's not hard because I'm open. You know, I have that blank page and I'm open. But I want to get it. I want to apply it. I want to pass it on. So I just thank you and all the listeners and everybody that participate. Thank you for sharing your knowledge with me.
Ashe.
Oh, you are so welcome, sister.
And you
uh-huh.
are just as sweet as you want to be. Just like your godmama, a child of Oshun, and you're just a sweet, sweet woman.
Thank you so much.
Success and many blessings. That's all I can say. You're doing it, Omi Shayon.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen your growth in leaps and bounds.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's
so,
been constant, but over the past, what, 2 or 3 years, you just, you know, you just really opened up.
She started opening up at that trip that we had in Fellow Island when she sat down and we saw that glow around her. Remember that one?
Yes, I do.
When she was sitting
yes,
out in
I
the yard?
Did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's been coming ever since then, Omi Shayon.
Looking like a
you
shiny
know,
God, penny.
God bless you. Honest to goodness.
Hey, I'll take my penny, honey. I'll take my penny.
Looking like a shiny penny. I will never forget. Thank you so much for sharing. You know,
okay, lady.
As we get ready to wind down, we're moving into my favorite portion of the show, my prayer portion. You know, I want to share just one more little nugget, one more lesson I learned from my elder. And I have had the privilege and the benefit of working with many different elders, but working with my mother for the past 13 years on her spiritual organization, Mother Eagle Ministries. She was working a lot more than that, a lot earlier than that, but that's when I came on board and really made a commitment to apply myself. And one of the lessons that, one of the golden nuggets that she gave to me was that teachers have to be detached from the outcome. And that rang so true when my sister Omi Shayun was speaking, and I was like, we really, you know, the teacher has to put it out there hoping and praying that the student gets it. Student might not get it. You know, we have to just hope and pray that they get it. And that is, and I tell that to my elders, put the information out there, and students get it, that want it, they're going to get it. And to my students, and we're all teachers and all students, so speaking to the student side of everybody, get your lesson. Don't let people walk around with your lesson in their library. Get your lesson. Get your lesson. We have libraries that we are burying, chock full of information. Get your lesson. Don't let them sit there and bury your lesson in this library. Our elders are not guaranteed to us. We're not guaranteed to us, okay? We don't have a guarantee on this, but our elders, there is a special, special sense of urgency in getting this information. And don't get it like, oh, I have it in my hand. I mean, I have so many scrolls. And when I say scrolls, I mean really, literally scrolls. I got scrolls, books, this, that, the other. I have all kinds of everything. I need this applied, okay? I need this translated into knowledge. I need it in working format so I can make sure that when I close my eyes, that I have done enough to disseminate this information to others, okay? So don't let somebody walking around with your lesson in their pocket, in their library. Go get your lesson. Do what you need to do. If you have to have a little humble pie, do that. You know, if you have precision of language challenges, you know, get you a little bubble. Whatever you have to do, whatever you have to do. What's most important is getting this lesson, because that lesson, and this is a lesson that God has for you, is going to improve your life. So don't let somebody sit around taking a chance on your lesson with your life improvement because, you know, you didn't like the way they did this, that, or the other. Okay? Mom, do you have any last-minute any last-minute words about the lessons from our elders?
Oh, about the lessons. I'm going to translate the lessons to the medicine. I remember talking to a sister about 3 or 4 months ago, and the sister is soon to be an elder, but she is extremely wise, has internalized lessons from so many different paths. And I told her, because she's holding out, I told her, and I will say this to every elder on the line, you are holding someone's medicine. I will say this to the soon-to-be elders, the pre-elders. You are holding someone's medicine. So we've all got to step up to the plate.
Yes.
We've all got to step up to the plate and let it go.
Amen. All right, I'm pulling on our guest prayer so we can have our medicine as we're leaving out the door. Greetings, welcome to the show. Greetings.
Alafia, how are you?
Alafia.
How are you?
Blessed and excited to hear this.
Listening. Well, I was asked to sing a song of praise, and I had a song in my heart earlier to sing. It's an older song, but as we've been speaking, A different song has come to my head that I like to sing. All right. Waiting in the water. Waiting in the water. Waiting in the water. Waiting in the water. There's movement in the water. Get your healing from the water. Cause ancestors in the water. Waiting in the water. There is peace. Go sail with she. No fails, just free. I guarantee you, you can get your peace. Go sail with she. No trails, just tree. I guarantee you, waiting in the water, oceans waiting in the water, waiting in the water, oceans won't trouble your waters. God won't trouble your water. I've got so much to thank God for. So many wonderful blessings and so many open doors. A brand new mercy. Oh, with each new day. And that's why I praise you. For this I give you praise. Ashe.
Ashe. Give thanks.
Ashe.
Thank you. And I appreciate y'all today. This is something I really needed to hear myself. I struggle with my patience in understanding that I have to wait. Because there's lessons I want to learn right now that I feel I should know. But I understand that everything is in God's time and in the right time. And so I just appreciate what y'all lessons was about today.
Ah, shame. Amen, sister.
Ah, shame. Thank you.